Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And we welcome the Major Billy Downer from DNR back to Sports Talk for another edition of SC Wild across the state of South Carolina. Lots to talk about in the great outdoors here in the latter part of September, the last day of summer. You would feel like it felt like summer today. The first day of fall tomorrow is going to feel like summer. And then it's going to start cooling off just a little bit. So we'll ask the Major about all that. If you have a question for him, a comment, an observation, something that you need to know about related to hunting, fishing, anything in the outdoors of South Carolina, he is the man to contact. And the phone number is 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. I've been warned that I give the number too quickly sometimes, and some of our folks just can't gather it all in. Major Downer, great to have you with us back from the Lone Star State of Texas. What's going on?
Yes, it was a long couple of days. Had a good time visiting our brothers and sisters in the great state of Texas, as they call it.
Mm.
Had a lot of fun in Fort Worth with the Texas Wildlife and Parks Department there. They just do a really good job. And they were hosting the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies National Conference in Fort Worth. And so that's what I was there for. I know you were wanting to ask about that a little bit, and talk a little bit more during the show about kind of what goes on at that conference. It's not one of those things where people just don't do anything. It's really a great place, that one of the few times that agencies from across the country are together in one place. So a lot of good information shared there. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But it's hot. Good night. What a hot week it was this week in South Carolina. If you thought it was nice a week ago, well, just wait. It got really hot again this week. Flowers dying. Everything's about to wilt away when I got home. We kind of talk about where we are in the state right now with things going on. We are in the midst of course, our deer season in game zones 3 and 4. Rifle season's in. A lot of deer being hunted right now. This past weekend, the 15th, started the ability for folks to take antlerless deer, the does. So your does can be taken now. So that changes the game for a lot of folks. A lot more, people wait till that time so they've got an opportunity to shoot not just a buck but a doe. So as far as management goes for deer, that's really what it takes to manage our deer herd more, is to take those out more than the bucks. Not that deer's a deer, but in the end of the day, when you're trying to manage a herd, we've got such a kind of 1-to-1 ratio of buck to does, and when you start talking about that, you look at states like Texas that I've heard have 1-to-5, 1-to-10, where it's a lot harder for a buck. Here there's a doe for every buck. You want a little bit better ratio there where bucks have to kind of work a little more for it, and just works out better. But as far as the hunting goes, but, other than deer season, we're in the alligator season. We've talked about that. Alligator season here began at noon on September 10th, and we'll run through noon on October 8th, which is the second Saturday in October. We did add some alligators to a few of the different units here. I think it was in the Midlands here. We added some to that. I believe I'm right on that, to allow for more alligators to be taken. And the reason for that is, there's a little bit of a public outcry for, hey, there's too many gators right now. Our department's trying to react to that a little bit and do what we can to assist with managing our alligator population. Remember, our hunting season, along with our private lands program, depredation program permits, are all the tools that we have to manage alligator populations in the state. So we did add a few more opportunities this year, a good many opportunities. I think it was about 100 more tags were offered for alligators this year. Remember, every tag we issue doesn't necessarily mean an alligator gets taken. Folks don't always have good luck. And the further into the season you get, the smarter they get. They hear a boat, they go under. So it's and again, people are usually are looking for bigger alligators, which
speaking
for us,
of
is a big deal cause
speaking of bigger alligators,
I know you sent me that 13-foot with a 13-4.
Well, there were two. There were two taken out of Lake Marion, 13 feet, 600+ pounds. What are we growing down there?
Yeah, that's nothing new. Remember, I'll show you the picture. One of the first alligators I took out of the lake as an officer in 1998. Good night. 25 years ago, almost, was a 13-foot alligator out of Potato Creek that someone had shot while bow fishing. They'd shot it in the back with an arrow, and the alligator was going like a periscope. They'd go up, they'd go down. So, that was a large gator then, and that gator had probably 6 inches or more of his tail that had been bitten off.
Oof.
And that occurs a lot of times earlier in their life. Younger gators would get run off by bigger gators. Males will run other males off, and they'll try to eat them. And so they may have bit the tail off. And he lost like 6 inches of his tail, and he was still 13 foot long. So, and he was in that 600-pound range, 600 to 800-pound range, actually. He was a very large gator. So they're out there. Again, you remember, we've got the refuge here on Lake Marion, a lot of the places where these guys take these gators. You've got a lot of wild areas these gators can grow, good food sources for them, a lot of wild places to stay away from humans, which is a good thing. But taking these alligators is a part of how we manage population, so there's that. Not to get stuck on gators tonight for too long. We'll talk about that in a minute again.
Yeah.
But also, right now, we've also got our migratory bird season going on. You know, dove season's in full swing here. We've talked about that a good bit. We also had our early Canada goose seasons come in now. And that runs, you know, this whole month, September to the 30th. And that is open statewide. And, again, that is one of those opportunities for hunters to assist statewide and golf courses with Canada goose management. I know folks like to complain about the geese on the golf courses and in the yards around a lot of these communities that have ponds. And our statewide goose population has just exploded in the last 40 years since they were brought here in the 70s. What a great success story that was. Depends on who you talk to, if they believe that's a success story or not. But certainly it provides an opportunity for hunters to take geese, and it helps us control their population. It's the only way that we can. There's really not a natural predator on geese here other than us taking them through a hunting season. So this is that opportunity statewide, again, September 1st through the 30th, to take geese. Again, migratory rules apply. You have to have a waterfowl stamp as well, both state and federal privilege there to be able to take Canada geese statewide. Also, our early teal just started September 9th and runs through September 24th. Early teal season is a little bit different. Tries to give hunters the opportunity to take advantage of teal moving through the state early. As they're moving south for the winter, a lot of times our blue wings and green wings will pass through this time of year, moving pretty quickly down south to Florida and even further in our flyway. The daily limits for teal are 6 total. That's for this early season. The difference is during the early season, you have to wait till sunrise to begin shooting, and you have till sunset. So the legal time is from sunrise to sunset. The reason for that, typically, of the migratory birds, it's 30 minutes before sunrise to sunset. And when you're reaching sunrise to sunset for teals, they want to make sure that hunters have a little bit more light and opportunity to really identify what they're shooting at, because one of the biggest fears is, and we know this because charges have been made on folks that make this mistake all the time, is you shoot too early, you're shooting immature wood ducks who are the same similar size as blue-winged teal a lot of times. And they get shot mistaken for teal. So we're trying to reduce the opportunity for hunters to make a mistake and to hurt our wood duck population too early in the season when they're not big enough yet. So again, it's sunrise to sunset for your early teal season, which runs from September 9th through September 24th. So we don't have a whole lot of time left on that early teal season. Here we are, the 21st. So we got three more days of teal season. It's pretty much through this weekend. It's over with. But that's kind of where we are in the state as far as our seasons are going. I'll tell you a little bit about the AFWA conference. Again, it's a national conference where states come from across our nation and Canada and get together, and they talk about common problems and issues. Our law enforcement divisions from across the country also get together. The chiefs have a meeting. I was had the opportunity to go and be a part of that meeting with our department and represent us there. Had a lot of fun. You get to meet with a lot of folks and make some really good friends from across the country and see friends that you've made through other schools that we've gone to together. It's just funny, the people you know that keep moving up. One of my good friends just became colonel in North Carolina, and the other one just became colonel in Florida. So guys are moving up that I know from across the country. It's fun to see them. But as you talk to these people and these different wildlife professionals from across the country, similarities come up a lot. The problem areas we have, the problem animals that we have, they have. You know, some have different problems than we do. You know, the states have grizzly bear. We don't have a grizzly bear. Got that. California, got a mountain lion. Despite everybody's claim that we've got some kind of black cat out there, we do not have a black cat or an eastern cougar left in the state. But they have mountain lions that are in the 120-pound plus range. And they have interesting issues with them and small pockets of population in California in a mixed, in the middle of urban area. So the challenges are there. But if I was to ask you, Phil, what do you think the number one nuisance animal in California is? What would you say it is?
Number one nuisance animal in California, I'm going to say, is the seal.
No. Nice, but no. I should think about great whites, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it is the black bear.
The black bear?
They are overrun with black bears. If you think about it, California, what's on their flag? The bear.
Yeah.
So California is overrun with black bears. They have so many black bears across their state, and they have human-wildlife interaction problems all the time, and bears that get too close, and they have bear actually have bear attacks, if you will, where bears actually are biting humans. Not they're trying to eat them or defending cubs, but they're just so in such close proximity and so many bears that people run into, startle. They have, and the more opportunity there for the animal to make a mistake. And you know as well as I do, the animals are wild. They don't have the thinking processes we do. And they're going to react the way their first instinct tells them to. And that doesn't always work out well for the animal. But
we have lost the major momentarily. And we'll get him right back on here in just a moment because he was talking about some great stuff about the black bear in California. And as soon as I get the cue, we'll bring the major back to us. We're listening to S.E. Wild from DNR with the major, Billy Downer. Back with you, Major. You were talking about the black bears and in California and trying not to get too close to them or too friendly with them.
That's correct. I'm sorry. We lost each other for just a second.
That's okay.
That's their big problem there. We were not necessarily laughing, but just talking about the differences in each state. So, you know, in our state this year, we talked about that alligator human interaction is getting more and more common, either because our population is not really surging by any means, but people are just moving closer and closer to water. Folks want to have their houses around water, whether it's down in Buford or up in Myrtle Beach. They like to have water in their backyard. They like to have these ponds and ditches and things, water areas with beautiful lily pads and things. And what, we don't often think about is that creates perfect habitat for alligators. And as alligators move out of these other areas, the intracoastal waterway or swamps, they get run off by bigger gators. These small gators find homes in these little ponds and can often hide away where you don't see them for a long time until all of a sudden they're big, and then you get freaked out, there's an alligator, but that's just normal, the normal process of things. But as we're seeing in this year, we've had, unfortunately, some instance where alligators have actually attacked man. And that's news we've talked about for us in the last 5 years, but it's just an indication of how much we're moving into the wild. I'm not sitting here blaming people by any means, but again, alligators have a very simple brain. We've talked about that so many times and laughed about it, but the alligator just, you know, they're going to lose in this. Their brain doesn't tell them too much to eat and reproduce. And like I've always said, I don't want them thinking about that with either one of those options with me. Just like the bear in California, and similarly, even here, we have bear problems. We have more and more bear problems on the coast each year. Our bear population is expanding. Our bear population upstate. I know people that live at Glassy Mountain in Upper Greenville County and Spartanburg County up there toward the mountains, and Pickens County, Oconee County, and they have been dealing with bears for years because that's where bears traditionally were. But as people continue to move, everybody wants that nice mountain view. They put these nice homes around Lake Peewee and place homes in these nice neighborhoods up in the mountains. You're pushing into bear country. And that's where bears are. And they show up in your back porch, and you leave trash out where you maybe shouldn't have. And you have to learn to adjust your habits, if you will. Make sure trash is put up and you have bear-wise containers that bear can't get into too easy. You know, you laugh at the Yeti, but the Yeti was the big brag on Yeti was folks could use those in the outdoors camping, and bears could not get into them, which keeps bear problems down. But when it comes to trash cans, bears will get in there and they will go eat what's easiest. And so that's a common problem for us as well, even though we don't have near the population I don't think that California has. But again, similarities there. But with alligators, same thing. We continue to move into the outdoors, and we can't expect not to have more interaction with the wild. And sometimes, that, unfortunately, when you have an animal like an alligator, it's 10 foot long, and they don't have a whole lot of brain power there, they're going to make the wrong choice. And as an agency, we are continually having to manage wildlife and people. And probably one of the hardest things for an agency to do across the country is to manage people and public opinion when it comes to wildlife. You know, folks want a beautiful wild scenery. They want to see that bear at a distance, but they don't like it when it's in their trash can or eating at the bird feeder. And you get to other states like Colorado, they have elk problems coming into the back of neighborhoods eating out of the hummingbird feeder.
Elk. You said elk.
Elk. I said elk.
Okay, but
I've
now.
Watched elk eat out of a hummingbird feeder.
Property owner, I wouldn't be too upset if elk were walking through my yard versus a black bear or a bear, whatever it happens to be. I mean, the bear would be kind of scary. What do you advise homeowners that, you know, look in their backyard and there's a bear back there having his way?
Well, when you say having his way, the bear's ambling through, he's in his habitat, you've moved in with a home, you know, particularly, basically, give that bear his space. In South Carolina, we typically have not had a real bad bear interaction or aggressive actions toward humans with bears. And typically, our bears in this state act like deer. You've heard me say that before on the show. Basically, just like a deer, if you startle a bear, they pretty much run off.
Mm-hmm.
They see you, they're going to run the other direction. Now, the difference is if you have a sow, a female bear with cubs, her first instinct is going to protect those cubs, just like we would protect our young. And that's when you have a problem with wildlife. Sometimes they make a choice, you know, and they're like, whoa, I'm protecting my young. Again, giving them space, with black bear pretty much, you know, being loud as you're walking through the woods. If you're in bear areas in the mountains, the biggest thing is, you know, they talk about being bear-wise is being loud so you don't startle a bear so they hear you coming before you get there. They're going to run off before you get to them. That's the biggest thing on hiking trails and Appalachian Trail and around the state where we have bears, just being loud so they can hear you before you get to them. A bear that gets startled, that feels cornered, is a bear that might choose to turn and come at you to, you know, back the threat up, so to speak. Now, again, when you talk about grizzlies and things in Alaska, they have this problem all the time. Colorado, our western brothers and sisters out there who have grizzly bear, they have that kind of problem because grizzly bears, they tell you to be loud so they know you're coming. Grizzly bear, you don't want to startle because when you startle a grizzly bear, they react completely different, much more aggressive than a black bear. So I don't want to scare folks listening to the radio. Black bear, and again, in this state, are not aggressive typically, and so there's something you can see from a distance. But if you see a bear in the back in your backyard, stay out of the backyard.
Well, I can
let him go.
I promise you one thing: I'm not stepping in my backyard if you know if a black bear happened to wander through Northeast Columbia. He can have it. He can have the yard, the house, the car, the wife, and everything. I'm out of there.
And typically, we have seen pretty much bear in every county in the state. We've had a bear sighting. That doesn't mean that bears stay there. We've talked about this before. Our bears are typically mostly in the coastal plain, mm-hmm. and then up in the upstate, in the mountain areas, are where bears are in our state. We do have a bear season coming up, and we'll probably get a show next month and get one of our biologists to come talk about bear on the phone with us about bears. It would be pretty interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But bear season starts October the 17th in Game Zone 1, in Game Zone 2, and in Game Zone 4. And those are based on a quota the department sets. And you have tags that you purchase for bear. To hunt bear, you have to have a tag. And those tags are available for residents. It costs $25 and $100 for non-residents. And basically, when you purchase a tag, it gives you the ability to hunt a bear in the open areas, Game Zone 1, Game Zone 2, Game Zones 4. And we have a quota. You have to report. There's a reporting function on that. And when we reach the quota for bear in that area, we shut the season off. So there's a requirement there to kind of be in touch, to kind of listen. And we have a requirement. You know, we put it out there to let folks know, hey, season's closed. We don't want to take too many bears. But then Game Zone 4, our quota is 30 bears. That's Georgetown, Horry, Marion, Williamsburg County. The Game Zone 2 is 20 bears. That's Spartanburg, Greenville, Oconee, Pickens County, south of Game Zone 1. And then in Game Zone 1, there's a little bit different up there. Statewide limit of one bear per hunter on there in that October season. Is 17th to the 23rd there. It does follow 17th through the 30th in Game Zone 2 and 17th through the 30th in Game Zone 4 or until the quota is met. So it may not go through the end of October. If in the first week we take the number of bears that need to be taken in the area, they're going to shut the season down. It may sound confusing, but that's how we control the bear season because it's a little bit of a curve right now, kind of riding that curve to see where we need to be.
So, again, when you reach that quota across that region, how does the word go out to the hunters? How do they know that they've reached the quota there and you can't take any more?
Well, so we do. So when you sign up, you have the bear tags. We all have a system where we're using to, on the web, we ask hunters to call in. There's a 1-844 number, SC1BEAR. And then through our new app now, the Go Outdoors SD app, they're going to be using that to inform hunters as well because the app is going to be how you report bears anyway, and that'll be on there to show you, hey, bear season. That's one of the ways we'll be looking at how to let people know that. But again, we'll get into that next show.
Okay.
We'll have a bear show.
Okay.
And we'll get some more information on that.
Well, that sounds great. This was fantastic. Real quick, got about 30 seconds. Did you ride any horses while you were out in Texas?
I did not, but I did get to see the daily cattle drive downtown Fort Worth at the stockyard, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
To see the longhorns there. You know, Texas is such a beautiful state. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Ooh.
The horns are way longer. Some of those longhorns their horns were 10 feet wide.
Wow.
Literally.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tremendous. It was a lot of fun to see those folks there and to kind of be. Got watching rodeo on TV, and we were watching a game in the rodeo, and the crowd started cheering in the bar. We thought they were cheering for the game. Nope, they were cheering for the rodeo.
Hey, great to have you back. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks and talk more bear. Great hearing from
we'll
you, Major. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That is it for SC Wild from DNR on Sports Talk. Thank you, Major Billy Downer. Thank you, Pat Daniel. Thanks to all of you. Have a great night, everybody. Try and bear it. We'll see you tomorrow.